Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with David Wolfpaw. David, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I always tell people how we know each other, if we know each other. And I have to be honest and say I didn't really know too much about you or who you were until Allie Nimmons joined not only the podcast, she was my very first episode, but also she works with me at Give Now, and she tweets and retweets you all the time. She loves the stuff that you put out there, and so do I. So I started seeing your name more and more and more, and then I was like, well, this guy's really kind of cool. He's got some really great ideas. He's not afraid to speak his mind. And then I was like, oh my gosh, he's coming to WordCamp Rochester. And so it was a perfect opportunity to sit down and talk with you. And then I had the good luck with spending about 5 to 10 minutes with you last month to do a short recording for WordCamp US. So I feel like we're old friends now.
Yeah, the internet makes it really easy to connect with a lot of people that you don't get to see on a regular basis. Yeah. I'll probably be talking about that in a minute.
That's awesome. I love it. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. My name is David Wolfpaw. I live in Orlando, Florida. I am a WordPress support specialist. That's the title I've decided to give myself. I own a company called Fix Up Fox that does WordPress maintenance and support. And so that is where I've been making my living with WordPress for the past, I'd say, 4 years or so. I've been using it longer. I'll wait until we get to that. But outside of that, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I'll get to when we get to the hobbies area and everything. But I would say I spend a good portion of my time on the computer, which isn't always healthy, but it is what it is.
And you have dogs.
Yes. Hopefully my 4 dogs do not make too much noise if somebody comes home while we're recording.
What kind of dogs are they?
An Australian Shepherd, a Terrier Lab Mix, a Lab and Pit Mix, and a Dachshund.
So one really small and the rest medium to large dogs.
Yeah, I mean, he's big for a Dachshund. But no, yeah, it's they're all about 40 to 50 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Not the Dachshund, but the other ones. So no, like huge dogs.
Yeah, a 50-pound Dachshund would be very frightening indeed. Well, show me your mug. What mug do you have to show today?
So I mentioned that, living in Florida, I actually drink a lot of iced coffee, but I am drinking a hot espresso drink. The mug that I chose for today is, if you know the game Legend of Zelda, it is, there's like a glare. It's a fox dressed up like the character from Legend of Zelda. It's my favorite game series. Cool. Obviously my company's name is Fix It Fox. And circling back to that whole people online thing, this is a gift that I got years ago from a friend that I originally met on the internet and who happens to be like my longest friend now. And, we've seen each other in person, plenty of times, but I think it's really cool that that you have that ability to connect with people, and turn those into longer friendships and ongoing relationships where in the past, that wouldn't have been possible quite as easy.
No, I think that's true. Growing up, we had moved away from where our family centrally was located. And so, of course, I know who my cousins are and I know them. And when I see them, it's nice and everything. But I didn't have the relationship that my daughter has with my cousin's children because of their ability to connect over the internet in between family reunions and things like that. So I completely understand. It's a different world and it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, it's when I go to WordCamps, that's one of my favorite things about WordCamps is the ability to reconnect with people or to connect with new people. And, you can almost seamlessly jump back into conversations that you were having, online earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Let me show you my mug. So I've got my Boston mug today.
Went with my WordCamp Boston mug.
Well, this isn't a WordCamp as much as it's just Boston. Speaking of the internet, one of the guys that works for me here at Give, I was helping him through an online program to develop his resume. And so I hadn't ever met him in person. We had just been working through this chat program and then also through email. And when I got his resume and I was helping him make it look better, I was like, gosh, I don't want to make it look too good because I want to hire this guy, and ended up hiring this guy. So Jeff works for us here. When he was in Boston visiting some friends, he brought this back for the just so I could use it on the show. So I do drink a lot of coffee, but tonight I've got sparkling water because I want to be able to sleep tonight.
Probably a good idea. I bought a Nespresso machine last mm-hmm. year because I make like mocha drinks for my husband to take to work almost every morning, and nice. Then I drink, I don't know, you can say either not enough or too much coffee, depending on your estimates, but so it's gotten a lot of use. Certainly saves a lot of money of going to like Starbucks every day.
For sure. Well, not enough or too much coffee also depends on the day.
Yeah.
What's going on? So tell us how you got started with WordPress.
Yeah, so I started building websites in high school. And you know, I took some classes on programming. I had a very so I went to high school in Kansas, and I had a very what I consider a forward-thinking school in terms of they had a lot of programs available, you know, for a small town in Kansas for things like they had like an auto repair classes, some home ec classes, and other, you know, more standard get your hands dirty kind of things. But they also had classes in electrical engineering. So that's what my father does for a living. So I already had a little bit of skills going in. So I thought, oh, cool, I already know how to solder things. I'm going to go in and you know, get the easy A. But I did learn a lot there. And then they also, the same teacher who taught those classes taught programming classes. So I thought, I'm going to learn how to build websites because I like this teacher. That was kind of my thought process at the time. And I ended up having a lot of fun. So I started building websites like, you know, 6 or 7 years before I even touched WordPress.
Okay.
So by the time I got to WordPress, I was already doing PHP development, which I think was a big help going into learning WordPress in that I, you know, I absolutely think you can learn it without having any sort of developer background, but I already had an idea of some of the concepts behind it so that I could jump in immediately and start building themes and plugins. And, I know we're going to talk about mistakes in a little bit, so I'm going to save my here's the knowledge that I already had being a burden as opposed to a help. I'll save that.
I love that. I love that.
But anyway, yeah, so I started building WordPress sites in about 2008, and I haven't looked back since. I've kind of dropped every other CMS I was working with, and now it's just WordPress.
That's awesome. So you were an early adopter.
I mean, yeah, or you could say, actually, no, sorry, I do want to pause on that because yes, for a lot of people, I would be an early adopter, 2008. At the same time, WordPress was already on for 5 years, and I'd never heard of it. And so for a lot of people who are really, really involved in it, you know, they've been around even longer than I have. And we get a lot of people who come to our local meetup who do have that concern of, oh, I can't learn these things. There's already people way ahead of me, or I'm late to the game on whatever it is. Everybody who was building an internet business in 2001, before the crash, thought that they were late to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I bring that up. And if you have anybody who's, you know, newer or just getting started or wants to learn a new thing now, they are not late.
No, as a matter of fact, the people who are learning WordPress now and are learning it with the Gutenberg block editor are actually at a better advantage to some of us who have had to retrain our brains to think in a different way around the block editor. So, you know, Jeff in the office, I hired him in March and I said, you should start a blog so you understand how to use WordPress. It's not his job, he's not doing WordPress, he's in accounting for us. But so he started a blog and he's like, well, this is so easy. I love all the different blocks, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I wish people, you have to come to the meetup and say that because yeah. The people in the meetup are like, no, dragging and kicking. Like,
oh, yeah.
Don't take my classic, you'll pry my classic editor from my cold, dead hands, right? So.
Absolutely. I was on the page builder and Gutenberg workshop at WordCamp Rochester this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I repeated the thing that I've been saying for, you know, like the past 2 years, which is, I am really jealous of the people who use WordPress for the first time now, or like use WordPress for the first time next year, because they can come in with this beginner mind that I can't have, you know, I can't unknow all of the things that I already know from WordPress, all the baggage. And so I agree. I think that it's really cool. I love Gutenberg, the block editor, but I can totally see people who are used to doing things one way. You can become really efficient with efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. I always like to tell people if they're not comfortable using the block editor, they should become a WordCamp organizer because you kind of forced into using it in a way. Yes, you could use the classic editor, but if you force yourself into using it, you become expert at it very, very quickly, which is also a very good thing.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have much room to change things up there.
No, for sure. When you think about sites in general, so you manage people's WordPress websites, so sometimes they've already been built, right? Or a lot of times they've already been built, perhaps?
Yeah, I usually am coming in now for sites that already exist. Okay. I've pretty much stopped building new sites for people.
So you have a really good point of view on this, I'm going to guess. But when you're looking at other people's websites and you think about things that we could do better to make the experience for our site visitors better, make them better sites, make them stronger sites, what are some things you think that we need to improve on as a community?
So as a community, because I admit I started thinking about answers to this earlier, but I thought about it. I was thought about it originally in terms of stakeholders, but you've already identified who I think the most important stakeholder is, the visitor to the site. Mm-hmm. As a community, I think overall we're doing fairly well, and I think that we are trying to do better over time. A little plug, you know, I'm doing a workshop with Allie and a bunch of other awesome people at WordCamp US this year on creating more diverse events. And that's because the organizers of WordCamp US realized and identified that one place where we can improve is diversity and inclusion. And as opposed to just giving it lip service, you know, there actually is a whole workshop we're putting on, events, things that we can be used as resources afterward. So overall as a community, I think we're always striving to do better. And that is more that can be said for a lot of communities. Sure, there are places that, you know, there's always some sort of WP drama going on. There's always stumbling points and things like that. But I mean, compared to a lot of other communities, you know, we have it good.
I agree a lot. Yeah. What's something you wish you had known earlier in your process with working with WordPress that you've learned since that might have made your life a little easier?
Yeah, so this is where I come back to my knowing some PHP first. I came into it with a certain mindset of how to build sites. And I realized that WordPress does things in its own way, which, you know, isn't the same as most PHP frameworks, isn't the same as a lot of other CMSs. And so I did a lot of things that look silly now. You know, like I needed to change things in a menu. So I'd go into the header.php file and hard code the new things that I needed, because I go, oh, well, this is, you know, even if I go, oh, well, I'm just gonna use a PHP call to, get blog info home to get the homepage, still that's something that I could have just done with the WordPress in the settings. But one thing I think that helped me with, one thing I think that taught me is to be more forgiving and more patient with others. By that, I mean, the kinds of things that I did, a lot of hard coding of things, a lot of writing things that WordPress already does, but maybe not either not realizing it or wanting to change a small thing. I see a lot of other people do that on sites that I manage. And so I never go into a site going, oh my God, what are these people doing? They're so stupid. I think, oh yeah, I did that exact thing too. So I can always, you know, forgive people for where they are on their development journey. A lot of people are very far ahead of me. A lot of people, you know, are catching up to me, but everybody knows something different. And I'm not going to fault them for not knowing this one specific thing that they know.
Well, I inherited some websites. I'm not even going to tell you what they are, as somebody who is just going to help them continue to work on their website, not even manage it from, like, I'm not doing the updates and things like that, although that eventually fell in my lap too. The entire thing was hand coded. It was WordPress, but it was their own theme. It was the way they interconnected custom post types, everything. I'm not a developer. I mean, I know some CSS, I know some HTML, and I was just like gobsmacked by the whole thing. I was completely out of my element. I needed help from other people. So yeah, I'm just going to say, even if you are completely doing it, just comment your code so other people know what's going on.
That's a great, people need to do that more. Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Especially when you inherit a site, right?
Yes. Where I'm like, what were they thinking here? Yeah. You know, not like, oh my gosh, what are they thinking? But like, oh, I need to figure out the, you know, logic going on behind
this. What was the process? Yeah, their thought process.
What page is this on?
Yeah. Oh, you make some good points. When you think back over the different WordCamp talks you've given, people you've seen at WordCamp, other sessions you've attended, meetups, other kinds of events, Is there a moment or two that are kind of pivotal to you? You know, something that was inspiring or really helped you think in a different way? And what was it?
Yeah. This is why I should have prepared. You're holding up your Boston mug right now. And I'm thinking about Ethan Marcotte's talk at WordCamp Boston this year. And I don't remember the name of it, which I should hold it up. I can pull it up later. Talks like the one that Ethan gave, like ones that Kathy Zant gives, Morten Ryan Henriksen. I'm trying to think of a few people who give talks that are not solely, here's how to do X in WordPress. Because those are valuable talks. You know, those are honestly what I end up giving most of the time, like how to build your own plugin. But talks that can push us forward as a community or push us forward as the web, I find very valuable. So Ethan gave a talk at WordCamp Boston this year that mainly focused on the ethics of design, focused on inclusion for your users, focused on ensuring that you are building something better, you know, than what came before you. And I think it's a good reminder that we should all have sometimes. They're also they're good pep talks, you know, like as in, you know, I can go home and I'm like, yes, I'm ready to do something amazing on the web today, which I think we all need sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's awesome. I love those talks too, especially because I'm not a developer. So if I'm sitting in, if there's three developer talks in front of me, you know, to try to choose from, or a very beginner talk, and, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm lost in the shuffle. But if there's a community type track, then I'm all over it because I'm all about building community and learning about how we build the community part of what we do and move that forward. So, no, I love that.
Agreed. I try to... whenever I'm, you know, involved in choosing, say, like a keynote for WordCamp Orlando, I always want to be someone who has a positive message about community building, mm-hmm. Because I think that's a good way to start the whole weekend, to get everybody, you know, in that mindset. Mm-hmm. And to your point of, you know, maybe not always having a talk to go to, sometimes the hallway track is also a really good way to go.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the events are really just to meet other people. And not necessarily like a transactional, you know, we're going to do business right now or something, but to get new perspectives, to, you know, maybe find people to work with in the future, or maybe just find people who you'll be able to commiserate
with. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like at WordCamp Rochester, I had a blast just chatting with you in the morning.
Exactly.
And getting to know you a little bit better. So
same here. I learned so many new things.
There you go. Right. I mean, it's awesome kind of stuff for sure. I gave a talk at WordCamp Boston last year called Use Your WordPress Powers for Good. So very much along those lines.
And see, I would have gone to that talk just based on the title.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had superheroes through the whole thing. So it was a lot of fun.
The talks that I've been giving more recently have either been about ethics on the web, or about the indie web. Indie web is the talk that I gave at Rochester this year, mm-hmm. where, you know, I talk about other ways that we can move away from silos, away from things like, you know, Facebook and other walled gardens, and owning our own voices online again. Earlier this year at WordCamp Jacksonville, I gave a talk on ethics on the web. Mm-hmm. And among the people who were in the room to hear my talk was Allie Nimmons. And she and Chris Leekman were there. I'll say for support, not to, you know, not to egg me on or anything. I'll say they were there for support.
They weren't hecklers.
They weren't heckling me. No, but I ended up making a fool of myself that multiple times during my talk, I had to say information overload. And I'm even saying it slow now because I'm going to mess up.
I heard about this.
For whatever reason, I kept saying information overload. I don't know why. I kept trying to correct myself and my brain wouldn't let me.
It's the gamer in you.
Oh yeah, I guess. So I kept messing that up, and they were just tweeting it the whole time and making GIFs and everything. And so, you know, when I'm done with my talk, I look on Twitter and I see all sorts of, you know, like more people were talking about that than about what my talk was about, which, you know, whatever. No. But I do bring that up because both Allie and Chris are amazing people. I know they both know already. Mm-hmm. And my closest best friend, Lisa Melgary, who is one of the organizers for Camp Orlando and was there at Jacksonville, got this cool shirt made for me.
Oh my goodness.
That she gave to me after the event. It says Information Overlord. And so now I'm rocking that. And I know that's like a silly thing or whatever, but there are those little, you know, just like how the internet is built on memes, now that's just going to be something that's going to stick with me for a while. Every time I see them, they bring it up.
Things like that are community builders, though. Those are relationship builders, yeah. Things like that. So, you know, if I make a fool of myself sometimes, I own it and I turn it into something positive if I can.
Exactly.
You can't undo the past. You may as well learn from it and grow from it. And turn it into something positive. I love that.
I always say, like, you know, when I look at code, my own code or someone else's, if I look at it again in a year, I'm going to think, you know, what was I doing back then? And so I think I've learned to stop, what's the phrase, kill your darlings, you know, to not worry about, not put so much emphasis on having things right or perfect or serious all the time. You see me online, you know that I'm not a very serious person. Yeah. I can be very serious in my personal life in terms of my beliefs, in terms of how I interact with others. You know, the things that I think that would move all of us forward. But when it comes to just having conversations, when it comes to how I spread those, I just try to stay, you know, I don't try to be like mean, upbeat, but not serious about things.
Yeah. Life is more fun if you make fun with it.
Exactly.
Have fun with it for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of hard for someone to embarrass me now. Cause I mean, I already do everything embarrassing myself.
It's like, honey, you can't do worse to me than I've done to myself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
People will say to me sometimes, what's your most embarrassing moment? And I have two. I remember the time that my skirt got pulled down in choir in the 9th grade.
Wait, on purpose? Like somebody did it? Or you mean like an accident?
Oh no, somebody pantsed me and they thought it was going to be funny.
Oh no. See, I would have like tripped going up the stairs or something and pantsed myself. That was my aura.
And then, my somewhat defunct blog, because I only post there a couple times a year now when I think of it, is called thedailybedhead.com. Mm-hmm. And I have, a post on there called Why I Don't Play Bingo. And it's because when I wasn't looking, my grandma stamped that last one for luck. And when I looked down, I thought they were all stamped and I yelled bingo. But I didn't have bingo. And those little white-haired ladies, they are not pleasant. No. So I have not played bingo since then.
Show me your card. Show me what you got.
I was like 15. I'm like 51 now. You know, it's like, it's a long time to not play bingo anymore. But I was so embarrassed that was one of those. So those two things, like anything else is already under the bridge forgotten. But those two episodes in my life are the only ones that still embarrass me a little bit.
I mean, I would say the fact that you've hung on to them that long, yeah, probably says something.
Yeah, probably, right? I'm sure there's a couple more if I really thought about it, but I try not to think about those things. So
yeah, okay. Why bother?
It's all in the past. So tell us a little bit about what you do then. So how do you, I think people often wonder, like, how do I get clients? So you're somebody who's in the freelance space, right?
Yep. Yeah. So I started out, like I said, I started working with WordPress in about 2008. I was building clients for sites, and WordPress ended up becoming a tool to build sites easier and more robust, because I was, you know, like basically doing HTML, CSS sites before that and PHP. What I started doing was building like custom themes and plugins for clients. And then for a while, I found integrations to be a niche. By that, I mean, I helped a client with a point of sale system to connect to their WooCommerce shop. And then I had a client who was doing things with spreadsheets that were taking them a long time. And I found a way to integrate Gravity Forms on their site to do a lot of that for them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a lot of tools now to help do these things, Zapier, Ift, things like that. But that became a little niche for a while. From there, you know, I started getting clients who'd come back years later and be like, help, something's wrong with my site. Or, you know, hey, you built this for us. Can you do these other things? Mm-hmm. And that was when I started doing maintenance. I realized that there was a real need for it there. I've been doing that full time for about 4 years now, which I have to admit, you know, everyone says recurring revenue and like regular clients, you know, stream of income is really good. In terms of how to find those clients, I mean, I was still finding clients before the WordPress meetup in Orlando. So we are celebrating our 8th anniversary in 2 weeks. Wow. For WordPress Orlando. I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been involved with WordPress Orlando for the past 8 years, or almost 8 years now, in our WordCamp. And that has been a big help. You know, I'm not going to lie, being involved in the community has been useful for getting clients, although that's not why I do that. I was already getting some clients before that, and most of the time it was word of mouth. And honestly, now it's word of mouth too. It was people who knew me through some other way, knew that I did things with websites, and every business needs a website. So if I had advice to give, you know, on how to get new clients, I mean, just let people know that you do it. You know, I see people on Twitter all the time now going, I do this. I'm looking for some new clients if anyone has any leads. And that's how I hear a lot of people get leads as well.
Yeah, that's when I was freelancing, building websites. That's what I did. And I joined a couple networking groups, and mm-hmm. my business went from a couple of sites a month to, wow, how am I going to get all this work done? So that was pretty awesome.
It's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it makes it easier to choose who your customers are too.
Yes, that has been. First, I want to say that I think I'm very lucky to be in the position that I'm in. Like, I don't want to take any of it for granted. That said, the things that I find best about the work that I do are that I am independent in terms of being able to set my own hours, set the kind of work I do, and set how I do that work. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is being picky with clients. They're just not everybody is the right kind of client for me. And I finally started to learn that that's okay. I don't have to try to bend myself to fit their needs. And it's not even always things like, I mean, there's the easy ones, like they want something too fast or they want something on a lower budget. It might just be, you know, again, right now, if anyone comes to me saying, I want a new site built, I pass those along to other people that I know mm-hmm. because that's not what I want to spend my time doing now.
Right.
So being able to get to that point is just amazing. Both one, I don't need to worry about if I'm getting enough money in this month because, you know, I'm going to assume all of my clients aren't going to fire me at once. And two, being able to choose which projects I do and don't take has been great.
And I think there was a chapter in a book you just read on Sunday about that too.
Yes.
How's that for a shameless plug?
Yeah. So Michelle gave me her book on, I guess I'm talking to the audience now, not you. Michelle gave me her book at WordCamp Rochester. And I read the book over my layover in
That's awesome.
Newark, you know, between getting there back to Orlando. So I both want to say that one, it's a quick read, you know, it took me a couple mm-hmm. of hours to read it. And two, it has a lot of useful information in it. Especially if you're starting a new business, you know, I see that you kind of target it more towards new business owners. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that like, it's just like when I go to a talk about something that I already know, but it's like having that reminder goes, yeah, I know I need to do this. There's so many things in there. I'm like, yes, I know I need to do this thing. And I just haven't yet. Getting those reminders is helpful.
Good. Well, it's funny though, because you would talk about, you know, we talk about knowing what kind of clients, and there's some stories in there that I put there about how I discovered that every customer was not my customer. And so that was exciting to me when I actually made that realization and could start turning people away.
Yeah, there's always, I get the idea, and I have some friends that I know who are, you know, doing development and are still in that, I don't know, that hunger mode, I guess, of, you know, mm-hmm. no, I need to take these projects because I need to get these projects in. And, you know, I totally understand that. I'm not going to fault anyone for doing that. But but hopefully everyone can either decide this is something that isn't the right fit for me, or this is something that I want to do. And now I am doing enough to, you know, to be choosy.
Right.
I know we're not really talking tips like that, but tips in terms of when you are getting clients, communication, really important, just because I found, and honestly, all my earlier testimonials that I put on my site were focused around this because so many people were like, yeah, I called somebody and they just never returned my call. I emailed them and they emailed me back 3 months later, something like that. Just showing up has been a huge help for me. Just like literally going, yes, I saw your email. And even if I don't have an answer right now, I'm letting you know that I am working on it. Yeah. You know, as opposed to just going radio silent for months, like a lot of people apparently do.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's like, how do you grow a business if you don't return phone calls and email?
Yeah, I can understand, oh, I'm busy right now working on this thing, but you can carve out a little bit of time to keep in touch with your clients.
Right. And not to get too far afield either, but pricing is the other thing, right? So I actually do some coaching, some business coaching. And I said to somebody who had her pricing too low, I said, would you rather build 10 websites at $1,000 a piece, 5 websites at $2,000 a piece, or maybe 2 websites at $5,000 a piece, knowing what our local economy will support. She said, oh, I see what you mean. And she started charging more thinking that people weren't going to pay it. And they are. So,
yeah. not every client will, but you'll find those clients that are very, very forgiving, not forgiving, but not as...
they're more flexible, or they're just...
More flexible, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what would be her, which one would you suggest people go after, the 10, 5, or the 2?
I think it depends on a lot of things. It depends on your skill level and what they're asking for, and how much you're able to produce what they're asking for. I also think it depends. I mean, if somebody says I need a brochure site versus I need an e-commerce site, there's different answers. But you should have a base that you go, that you never go below this base. This is your starting mark, and that's where you go up from there.
I do agree with that, because then you have some parameters in place you can quickly filter people in or out.
Right.
You know, there's always those things that are like red flags, and those are some of the ones that I can filter mm-hmm. people with.
Right.
For a while, I worked with some others at an agency, and we were focused on those. We're only going to build a few sites. We're going to build the more expensive ones. Mm-hmm. But I realized myself, I actually like that middle tier a bit more mm-hmm. of people who, you know what they need, or at least have a good idea of what they need, but they want you to, you know, figure it out and mm-hmm. iron out all the details. And as you said, they're more flexible. They do have a budget, but they're not expecting the world for that budget.
Right.
The websites that were like 6 years to a month to build, you know, mm-hmm. but they're six months to a year to build is what I right. think I meant. Yes. those are the ones that just would become, you know, such a drag to work on. They were, sure, they're higher paying clients that could pay for a year of time, you know, working on other projects. But I would much rather work on that middle tier site that takes less time to build.
Yeah.
You know, so we can get started making them money too.
And I was one of the clients who appreciated my skill and what I could bring. Like they liked how the sites I looked built looked. Now I'm doing what you're doing, reversing my words. They liked the way that I did things, and they liked the way that they looked, and they liked my design aesthetic, my marketing sense, those kinds of things. So yeah, definitely find the clients that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
If you
they
can.
They are out there.
Yep. They are. And it takes a little while. Sometimes you do start out by taking almost every job just to get your foot in the door and to actually pay the bills. But as you grow and as your skill grows and as your name means something and people hear it and that you get those referrals, you can certainly start to narrow the funnel a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So. It certainly helps for whatever area that you're in to try to get more involved in that area locally. Because a lot of people, I mean, I'm going to use Orlando as our example, that a lot of people come to our meetups specifically looking for help with their websites. Like mm-hmm. they're not necessarily looking always, you know, to learn how to do whatever, you know, one of our lectures.
Yeah.
They want to find somebody there who already knows, like just pay to do things.
Like a clinic almost.
Yeah. And being there, just showing up is enough
mm-hmm.
to set you apart from a lot of people.
Yeah. I found that I got a lot of customers right from the meetup. And then I would get customers who never came to a meetup, and I'd say, how did you hear about me? And the response was, well, I Googled WordPress and Rochester and your name came up. I was like, well, that's not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah. I remember for a short while, there were like some companies competing for that, like in Orlando, where mm-hmm. people would go, look, if you type WordPress in Orlando, my name comes up first or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, I don't say like I tried to SEO optimize for anything like that, but having your name on a meetup page called WordPress Orlando certainly helped me.
It sure does. Absolutely. Well, I want to be respectful of time, so I'm going to move into our rapid fire questions, because you and I both have 20 minutes left till we have other meetings.
Yeah.
So if you were helping somebody build their own website, what are two or three plugins that you would say they must have, whether it's by name or by type?
Yeah, preventative maintenance. That's what I offer, and that's what I suggest everyone have. That means some sort of backup plugin. There's a ton of backup plugins out there. Find one that works for you, or find some other method to do backups that isn't always just reliant on your host. Logging is something that I think is very important. So WordPress itself doesn't have any sort of logging system built in. So two things that I put on all of my client sites are a tool like Stream, which is a plugin that can record what happens in the WordPress site. There's a lot of plugins that do this, but basically it's just recording, you know, David logged in, David disabled a plugin, David, just so we can get an idea, not so I can like blame people for things, but so I can look, oh, something's wrong. And then I can look to see, you know, what changes were made recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then mail logging. WordPress by default sends mail through some WordPress functions, and it doesn't always work great for a variety of reasons. So at the very least, being able to see what emails were sent, whether they failed or succeeded. But even if they don't make it to their intended user, you'll at least have a copy of them if you have a log. A lot of SMTP plugins have logging built in. If not, you can get a separate plugin for it, which leads me to my third plugin, an SMTP plugin. So this is for mail from your site. The average site is not going to be sending 10,000 emails a month. So I recommend getting like a Mailgun account because they offer you the first 10,000 emails for free each month. There's a lot of services that do that. SendGrid. Of course, now I'm blanking on names besides like SendGrid and Mailgun, but I use Mailgun. It takes a little bit of effort to set up, but it lets all of your email run through a mail hosting company as opposed to running through your own servers. This means that your emails are going to get delivered more reliably, and you're not putting as much strain on your server.
Nice. And sometimes the hosts, some hosting situations put such tight spam cops on that even legitimate emails get quarantined and you can't figure out where they are, what happened to them, until you really go do a deep dive into your cPanel.
So. Yeah. Gmail has they're a bit overzealous now, especially over the past year. They've been getting more and more that way, where they will just silently drop a lot of emails, not even send them to spam. And, that can mean the end of a business for businesses that rely on sending newsletters to their customers or sending coupons or invoices, receipts, things like that. Yeah,
for sure. At any point in your WordPress career, have you had a mentor, somebody that, whether it was officially a mentor or somebody you looked up to, maybe took you under their wing at all? And who was it?
Not really. I'm going to admit. Okay. And not because... Not because I'm like, oh, I don't need anybody or I don't know things. I would say a lot of people at various smaller times, because I always feel like I'm, I don't want to take advantage of anyone else's time, but there have been a lot of people who, without me having to, bother them, have taken their time to talk to me, to give me business help, to give me development help. So I'm thinking about, for instance, there's some automatic employees who helped me do my first core contribution to WordPress. And they spent like 3 hours helping me figure out how to do everything. And I will forever be grateful for all the things that I learned from them and that That's they were cool. so patient. There's a Syed Balki who owns WP Beginner and a lot of, WordPress plugins. He, whenever I see him at a WordCamp, usually we eat lunch together. Not because I go and find wherever he's sitting and follow him. He walked up to me, and says like, hey, do you want to have lunch together? So again, I'm not like, and he gave me a lot of good advice about, running a single person business, which I find very helpful. Jason Coleman from Paid Membership Pro, he also has given me a lot of business advice. And these are people who I'm not even sure if they realize how much they are just giving away to other people. I know we're all doing it in the community and that's what I love about it, but I'm not even sure if they realize like in the moment, the things that they're saying, having such an effect on someone else's business.
It's like, wow, how much he should have charged me for that. Right. Not going to say anything.
Oops. Yeah. Delete this recording. Don't know.
Who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
Well, I already, honestly, I listed a bunch of them. Syed, Jason, Ali Nimmons, Chris Wigman. There's a lot of people, so I'm trying to think of maybe the best representation of why I, respect somebody in the community. I respect people like Morten Rand Henriksen, who are willing to have some more difficult conversations, that we don't always want to have. So the people who work for Automatic on the community team, Josepha Hayden, Andrea Middleton. I'm not going to list everybody, Angela,
Jenner, okay.
everybody there, but all of them have so much more patience and understanding than I do as a person. So, when I have the chance to talk to them, Cami Chaos is probably the best example for me for this, of knowing how to empathize with others and having that make you a better person.
I love that. That's wonderful. Yeah, she's definitely a very special person and I count her as one of my friends as well. So what's something you still want to learn in WordPress that you haven't learned yet?
I want to learn Vue. So I know that, the block editor uses React. I know things like Gatsby use React and all these other new things. I admit, honestly, I don't want to spend any time working with a Facebook owned product. I know the licensing and all that, but so I hear a lot of good about Vue from people like Josh Pollack, mm-hmm. Formerly Caldera Forms, and I would love to start learning that. I'm not like afraid of JavaScript, as I see a lot of people end up being who are PHP developers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I try to write as much vanilla JavaScript as I can, so I don't have to like rely on other things.
Yeah, no, that's good. I want to learn anything that isn't already what I've learned. So like PHP is like probably next on my list to have a better understanding. I don't plan on coding anything. I just want to understand it better.
When I do workshops like building your first theme or building your first plugin, I will pull open one of the like the 20 whatever themes, like 2019, 2017, and I will show people some of the PHP files there, and I will point to something that says get the title, and I will say, that's a bit of PHP. Can you guess what that does? Yeah. And what I've tried to demonstrate is like, sure, you can get really deep into it, but you can also hopefully open up a file and get an okay understanding of what's going on if you get some of the basics down.
That's pretty cool. So that's my goal. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made, and what did you learn from it? I know you were dying certainly for this question.
Yeah, I know. Certainly those hard coding random things or writing functions and then realizing that they already exist as something in WordPress. I have written things that cause breaking changes in sites. Like I go, oh, I need to, for a site, I rewrote how comments were done. And so I thought, oh, okay, this thing does what I need it to do now, not realizing that there were other plugins that also modify comments, but expecting them to work as WordPress makes them work, understandably. And so, I'm like, this looks good, but it broke something on the site that I didn't realize until later.
Yeah.
So I would try to look to see if something already exists in WordPress core to do what I need to do first.
That's actually really, really good advice, because I've heard other people say, I'll tell them something that I'm using. They're like, wow, I was trying to write a plugin. I didn't know that already existed. It's mm-hmm. like, you should probably check on that then.
Yeah, save some time and energy. Even mm-hmm. if you have to spend a little bit of money on a tool, it's probably cheaper than building it yourself.
That's right. Your time is valuable.
Yeah. And chances are, if you have a problem that exists, you're not unique. Somebody else has had the same or very similar problem. It's the largest platform on the web, which means that there's probably a whole business built around whatever, unique little thing that you have that you need to fix.
Yeah, for sure. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Ooh, proudest moment. I'm really proud with what I've done, in the Orlando community. Like I said, I've been, involved with our meetups that started 8 years ago, and involved with WordCamp Orlando since 2012. And there are people who have, including one of your coworkers, Sam Smith, mm-hmm. who would just come to one of our meetups, I remember when Sam came to a meetup, he's like, I've never used WordPress before. I want to learn web development. And, people recommend WordPress. Mm-hmm. And seeing people like Sam go from, I don't know anything about WordPress, to I'm giving a keynote at your WordCamp, and I work for Give now, and all the things that people like Sam do, has been great. I don't want to say like, oh, I did that, but just knowing that I helped cultivate that community that mm-hmm. exists. I know people who've gotten jobs at large companies in part thanks to our meetup.
That's wonderful. And I love that your proudest moment has to do with the community as opposed to one particular moment in time. I just think that that speaks to who you are as a person too. And that makes me love you a little bit more. So there you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you didn't work in web and web tech and all that, what's another career that you might like to try?
So I will preface and say I knew I wasn't going to take this as a career at the time, but when I was in college, because I was already building websites in college, and I liked it, and I was doing that to help myself get through school. But I have, my degree is in archaeology and linguistics.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I just like those topics in general. I am not great at learning languages, but I love the etymology of languages. And I knew that I was not going to become a professional archaeologist, no Indiana Jones here, because, I was like, no, you need a PhD before you can put a shovel into the ground anywhere. It's serious business, especially I focused a lot of my learning on Mexico, and they have a lot more, the government has a lot more input than the US does when it comes to archaeological digs. So like, I wouldn't be, like, it was kind of a joke, but it was like, no, you're not even allowed on a dig site unless you have a PhD. You know, so I knew, I was like, okay, I would really have to work at this if I wanted to do that.
But you are a bit of a code archaeologist. So when you do inherit those sites that you've got to untangle, it's kind of like archaeology too.
Yeah. And I think the same, I think a similar mindset applies as well. Because honestly, archaeology classes, they're obviously not about like digging things up and everything. It's a lot of data processing. Yeah. It's a lot of, we found this one potsherd and we can make all of these determinations based on, you know, things that we found in it. That said, I'm really interested in that profession because I don't know everything that's going on there now, but technology has advanced so much in that, you know, people were doing surveys with cameras that had remotes tied to kites so that he'd get them up in the air so they could, you know, survey a site. Just imagine like what they have now with drones that have like, you know, infrared cameras and stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, what's something on your bucket list? I'm wondering if we're going to have it still be tied to archaeology.
I mean, maybe not to do digs, but I'd love to see more places. You know, I travel a fair amount around the US, but I don't really travel much outside of the US. So there's a lot of historical places I'd like to see. You know, it's funny, I actually keep like a list and I haven't looked at it in a while. That's probably something that I need to do, but most of it is around experiences in terms of, you know, going somewhere and like going to Iceland and seeing the Aurora Borealis or heck, I've never been to Yellowstone. You know, I live in the US and never been to one of our largest national parks.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yellowstone intrigues me. The Northern Lights, I'm going to say, because I probably will screw it up if I try to say Aurora Borealis too. Those things are very intriguing. Absolutely. My bucket list also is I want to give a TED talk. That's one of my things, is I want to develop the right talk in the right time to be able to give it, even if it's just a TEDx talk, you know, and get it out there.
I think, you know, the TEDx is either like can feed into regular TED or you have to like leapfrog over people by being like, I'm Bill Gates or something, you know?
Well, I'm not Bill Gates, but maybe.
but just sharing that you want to do that makes it more likely. No one's going to know to think to ask you if no one knows.
That's right. So I keep applying to the Rochester ones. One of these years, they're going to pick my talk.
Nice. Well, good luck.
Thank you. So show us or tell us about a secret, a hidden talent that you have that we in the WordPress community might not know about.
I'm not going to show you. I didn't bring it in here, but I do play the guitar.
Oh, cool.
I don't practice as much as I used to, but there was a time that, again, in college, I was in bands and I really enjoyed playing, but I am all self-taught, which means that I am not super great, but I really enjoy it, like playing guitar and singing. And there was a while that I thought, oh, what if I, you know, spent more time doing this and tried to make a music career? And then I realized that's not going to happen.
I was actually a music major, a vocal performance major in college for the first year. And then I realized that I never wanted it to become competitive. I didn't want to have to compete to sing. And I was like, I switched my majors up and I still love singing because of that. So.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not a very competitive person in general.
No.
I'm not trying to like just sound, you know, nice or anything, but I want to see everybody succeed. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have my worth or value tied to like beating somebody else out on something, even if it's, you know, oh, I am the singer for this and not that other person.
Right, exactly. Last question, how can we find you online and social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at David Wolfpaw, but more often I'm actually on Mastodon. I give a WordCamp talk about IndieWeb, things like Mastodon. I self-host what they call an instance at the website tech.lgbt. If anyone is interested in learning what Mastodon is, I've written some blog posts about it on my site, davidwolfpaw.com. But I want to recommend that over things like Twitter because I would like more people to see alternatives that exist to large corporate centrally owned social networks. So if you don't know what Mastodon is, it's going to look a lot like Twitter to people, but you have a bit more control. It's a lot more fun.
That's cool. And your work website.
Oh yeah, fixupfox.com.
Very good. Thank you so much for being here, David. I know we're both busy and I promise to get you out of here. I still have 7 minutes to spare. So we will say goodbye to the coffee talk world And until the next episode, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Words
right now.
I love it. I'll see you at US.
All right. See you.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up, whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.